We could. Well, welcome to Gillette Bible Institute, and this is our class, the Introduction to the New Testament Greek. We do have a New Testament Greek class, but that lasts 4 semesters, and this one is fun, the introduction. The other one is fun too, but it's a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. Why should we learn Greek at all? Well, we'll answer that in a moment, but this is God's Word, and we take it very seriously and literally, and it will help us in our Bible study. It'll help us in our spiritual life. Can you grow spiritually without knowing Greek? Sure you can. But it's like the difference of watching television in black and white and color. I mean, you can watch it in black and white, but it's much better in color. Well, that's what we're going to do here. And as I said, this is just an introduction. What we'll learn in this class is we'll learn the alphabet, how to pronounce words. You'll learn some vocabulary, and you'll learn the tenses, the meanings of the tenses of Greek. By the way, that is the genius of the New Testament Greek, is the tenses. And so you'll learn the meaning of those. And then the last part, you're going to learn how to use the English/Greek tools. And for many years, that's all I knew how to do. When you're done with this class, for many years, that's all I knew is what you're learning. You'll probably learn more than what I knew, but I was able to get by just using these Greek tools. Later on, I went on to learn Greek, you know, and the full-fledged Greek, and I'm never sorry about it, and it just is probably one of the greatest blessings in my entire life. Well, let's go ahead and get started, but I do want to begin with a word of prayer, and then when we finish with the word in prayer, I'd like to go through some of these notes, and we'll get into the class. So let's just begin. Heavenly Father, we can never thank you enough for revealing yourself to us ultimately through the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. He reveals the invisible God. But we are also thankful that you have given us your Word, the inspired Word of God, which reveals who Jesus Christ is and thus who you are, your will for us, what we should believe and how we should behave. So, Lord, we just thank you so much. And I thank you for the Greek language that we can find out in detail. Perhaps one of the most detailed languages. So we can find out in detail what we should believe, what our instructions are, and how we should live for you. So, Father, give us wisdom tonight. Make us a great learning class. And Father, we pray that we'll grow closer to you because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take a look at the notes here. I'd like to just do a little bit of brief history of Biblical Greek. Letter A, God instrumentally brought Koine Greek to the world. And I use the reference of Galatians 4:4. So take a look up here at Galatians 4:4. This is going to be our class Bible. We get to see it both in the English and in the Greek. Okay, let me read for you. Galatians 4:4. It says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." And I just want to focus for a moment on this idea of the fullness of time. Christ coming into the world and dying on the cross is the focal point of all history, both before and after. And God worked all things together to that point in history. It's the focal point, the emphasis in history. One of the things that's interesting, the side notes, is like the Roman Empire at that time. God was instrumentally allowing the Roman Empire during this time, because when Christ was crucified and rose again and then came back and showed himself to his apostles, they were able for the first time in all of mankind's history to speedily go out and share the gospel. They had these Roman roads and the Roman roads, we're still engineering our roads according to the way they engineered theirs. And also the Roman Empire was protected. These roads, these Roman roads were protected. Whereas before that, I mean, you're just essentially going cross country and anything could happen. So all of a sudden now, after Christ died on the cross, we have the gospel. The gospel can get speedily sent out because of this Roman road. So there's so many things that are behind the scene, but Christ is the focal point. What is interesting is just prior to this time, Alexander the Great essentially conquered the world. And one of the things that he did or wanted to do was to make Greek the one common language of the world. Now, he didn't fully succeed, but he did get a pretty good way into it. But what was beautiful about it, this then became the language of what the Bible, the New Testament, was written in. And it's the most detailed language. It's the most detailed. So if you think about it, when you're trying to understand doctrine and theology, and of course there's sometimes debate, you can go back to the Greek and you can settle many of those. Also, too, when I think about it, God used the most detailed language to tell us how much He loves us. How much He loves us by sending His Son. And then when it comes to living for Him, there are many things in the Greek that are so picturesque, so detailed that you come away saying, oh, so that's what you mean and how I should live. So this Greek language was part of this fullness of time that God brought about for His ultimate purpose. So when we take a look at history, I see Koine Greek as a part of that. Well, what does Koine mean? Well, Koine in Greek just simply means common. It was the common language. That's what it was. It's different from classical Greek. Classical Greek is what Homer wrote and, you know, Aristotle and Plato. They all wrote in classical Greek. Now, classical Greek is similar to Koine, but Koine is the common everyday language. So when you're doing your Bible study, you can help yourself by looking at Greek, classical Greek. But many times the word has already changed by the time it came to this period and by the time it came to common man. Now, again, many times people say, well, you know, the apostles, they were just nothing more than uneducated fishermen. Yeah, but they knew Greek. And the more you learn about Greek, the more educated they'll be and seem to you. Well, this Koine Greek, oh, by the way, let me show you this word koinos in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. That's the translation. And here's the word koina. Okay, koina. And we're going to learn what those letters are. And one of the things I'm going to show you in this class is how much you already know of Greek, whether you know it or not. So we'll hang on to that thought. But here's the word koina. It means common. The New Testament Greek is Koine Greek, common Greek. By the way, it's not the same as modern Greek. I like to tell people the story that when I went to Bible college, I found out that down the corner was a pizza place and the owner was a little Greek. So whenever I went to college, people say, do you know Greek? And say, yeah, I know a little Greek. He owns the pizza place down the corner. Well, he was from Greece. And you know what was so interesting is he would get the paper, the regular reading paper from Greece sent to him. And I couldn't read that. But then he couldn't read the New Testament because it was from a different period, but it was called Koine Greek. So it was very interesting that he'd help me learn modern Greek a little bit, and I'd help him with this Koine Greek. But anyway, that's the name of the New Testament Greek that we study. Now again, it's one of the most detailed languages to express detail. And let me show you what I mean. Let's just go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, John writes in very simple Greek, but it's profound. Here he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, just one of the things I want to point out here is the verb was. See, the word was, it's used three times. Was, was. Well, here's the Greek word, ein. Now, this particular word, ein, is in the imperfect tense in the Greek. The imperfect tense means continuous in the past. So it's a past tense of continuous. And there are more Greek tenses than there are English tenses, and we will go over those in the course of the study. But what this means is when you're thinking of Jesus Christ, who was the Word, it means in the beginning, the Word continually was. He was never created. He's not a created being. He's the Creator. And this verb expresses it that He continually was in the beginning, meaning He was eternal. And so He's deity. And the Word was with God. Not only was He in the beginning continually, but He was continually with God. He's a member of the Godhead. And then finally, what a strong statement for the deity of Christ. And the Word was God. He continually was God. And the inference is that He will continue to be God. But someone says, well, Jesus Christ was God's first creation. No, He wasn't. Otherwise, He wouldn't be able to be named as God. And it wasn't that at a time He began to be God, because God does not have a beginning, He's eternal. He was always in the past, continually God. So again, you see the detail that you can have with the Greek, and it's so much more than the English, and sometimes you would just never understand these things from the English or be assured of them like you are with the Greek. So, why have an understanding of Greek? Well, number one, to receive deeper and personal insights from God's Word. We want to grow. Like I said, it's like watching television in color as opposed to black and white. We want to have an understanding of Greek, so number two, we can master the tools for Bible study. The more tools for Bible study that you can do, the less you have to rely upon other men. You could do your own Bible study. And there are so many Bible tools out there. It's just amazing to me. You know, years ago, these guys must have been geniuses. The way they do the first concordance. How do you do the first concordance without a computer? You literally have to read page by page and then mark when you see the word the. Imagine how many times the word the is used. Well, by us being able to use all of these Bible tools now, all of this hard scholarly work is at your fingertips now. Another reason why we would have an understanding of Greek, by the way, if it gets too hot, just turn that switch off. Yeah, this room really does get hot. Is it too hot?
Yeah.
Okay. And if it gets too cold, then turn the switch on. Okay. Off, and it gets cool. On, and it gets hot. See, now if you were to say that in the Greek, you could get much more detailed. Just kidding. Another reason why you want to have an understanding of Greek is when you read commentaries, you know, especially some of the more scholarly commentaries, they are going to use Greek words. Well, up until now, you, like the rest of us, would come to the Greek word and they go, rah, 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 and just move on. You know, you would forget all that part. Well, now you're going to understand what they mean. You're going to understand a little bit what they're saying. And if you're a teacher, like a teacher of a Sunday school class, you're going to be able to bring those things into your teaching. And that was really what made teaching come alive for me when I understood the Greek. Another thing you're going to be able to do is you're going to be going to be able to evaluate some of the differences in the Bible translations. You know, this whole debate of which is the best translation. Well, you, in a small way, will be able to make that decision for yourself. You will be able to see what the words are in Greek, what they really mean, and you'll be able to see how the different translations translate them. So there's so much value in understanding the Greek, and most of all, I believe it brings us closer to the Lord with deeper and personal insights from His Word. Well, okay, enough of the introductory stuff. Let's look at the dependence of English on the Greek language. It's at this point that I want to show you that you already know more Greek than you probably think. And what's so great about this is that don't feel so intimidated that I'm never going to get this stuff down. Oh yeah, you will, because you know quite a bit of it. First of all, there are transliterations in the English language. What's a transliteration? Well, a transliteration is a Greek word that's brought directly into English. It's a Greek word that's English. Many of the words that we have in English are Greek words, like the word angel. Angel comes from the Greek word angelos. Angle and angel are the same thing, only English. Or how about Bible and Biblos? It's the same word. And so basically when you do a transliteration, you take the Greek word and you just convert them into English letters. Some of you have already done this in our homework and you have written some of the English words with just Greek letters. Or how about baptism? Okay, what's the Greek word for baptism? Baptism or baptisma. It's the same thing. Or here's one. When you say Christ, you are saying a Greek word. It means the Messiah, the Anointed One, Christos in Greek. Or Christian is Christianus. So it's a Greek word. So many of the English words that you speak already are Greek words that you already know. Another thing is that the derivatives... we find that the English language is dependent upon Greek. You know, whenever there's any technical terms, like medical terms, they always like to go into the Greek because I guess that makes them so intellectual. Well, when you study Greek and you begin to see, hey, these aren't big words. They're just basic Greek words stuck together. All of a sudden now, you begin to understand. Like the word archaeology. Ooh, a big technical term. Well, arche means old in Greek. How common is that? Old, you know, we use the word old all the time in our English language. And logos or ology would be study. So archaeology is the study of old things. Okay? Or how about barometer? Well, baros means heavy, something that is heavy. And metros means a measurement. So a barometer is the measurement of the heaviness of the atmosphere. Or chiropractor. By the way, it's pronounced chiropractor, not choirpractor. Okay? Chiro means and. How common is that? And praxis is practice. So a chiropractor is one who does his practice by the manipulation of the hand on your spine. A chiropractor. So again, this is Greek. You know Greek already. And then when we come to the Greek alphabet, which I'd like to do right now, many of these Greek letters, and I'd say the majority of them, in one way or another, you already know them. They either look like English letters, and so they're very similar, or they are letters that are used in mathematics or science or some way or other you've heard of them or could have heard of them. Like, for instance, if you'll take a look here at Roman numeral 4 under the familiar Greek letters, the first letter is... Okay. Deb, what letter does this letter here look like?
An A.
And it's an alpha. So you don't have to learn that at all. That's going to come very natural. That Alpha is the first letter. Let me go ahead and bring this up a little bit so we can all see that screen. Is that any better? A little bit. Okay, all right. Matt, take your hand and put it over your left eye and read that top line for me. No, just kidding. All right, so here's Alpha. And Josh, what letter, what's the next letter look like?
A
B. A B, that's right, a B. And that is Beta. By the way, Alpha Beta, does that sound familiar? How about Alphabet? Again, another Greek word. Well, we'll just quickly look at some of these others. This one here is Gamma. It sort of looks like a G. If you use your imagination a little bit, it'll go a long way. And a gamma, Daryl, when he goes coyote hunting, uses a gamma ray gun. That's how he gets the gamma coyotes. So that's one. Delta, even though this is a small delta here, it does resemble a D with a little squiggly line. It's pronounced duh with a D. How about this letter right here? It's an epsilon. Looks like an E. It's pronounced eh, like pet. This one here looks like a fish hook, but it also looks like an I. It's an iota. Iota. The only thing is, it doesn't have a dot at the top, but it looks like an I, and it's pronounced like the small I in pit. Here's a letter that's kappa. Looks like the K, and it's pronounced K. By the way, as we go over the names of these letters, many times the very name of the letter helps you tell what the pronunciation is. Like a kappa is pronunciation K. Isn't that right, Josh? All right, this one here, it's a lambda. Now, if you use your imagination a little bit more, it kind of looks like an L that's walking on a cane. So it's an L, and it's a lambda, so it's pronounced la. Moving over here, we have this one here. This is a moo. This one right here, it's a moo. And it sort of looks like a cursive M. Like if I was going to write summer, you know, just with a little imagination, it looks like an M of some sort. Okay, humor me. I've actually seen people write their M's like this, okay? You know, maybe it looks like a capital M, all right? So that's mu, pronounced like an M. Here's Omicron. The next one looks like a letter O. And so it's pronounced like the O in dot, ah. The next one is, who can tell me what that one is? Pi, that's right. So it sounds like a P, and that's not going to be hard to figure out. The next one is a sigma, and I want to explain the sigma. But, you know, I remember I was in a Greek class with someone one time, and they said, well, the reason why I want to learn Greek is because I can understand what all of the fraternities are, you know. Pi, sigma, kappa. Here, this is a sigma. It's an S sound. Now, there's two of them there. This first one, which sort of looks like a cursive S. Again, humor me. This is when it's in the middle of the word. So if this sigma is in the middle of the word, it's going to have this kind of figuration. When it's at the end of the word, it's going to have a configuration that looks very much like an S. Well, it's a big fat S at the top and small at the bottom, but you know what? It looks like an S, and it's pronounced like an S, and it's that way when it's at the end of a word. By the way, we're almost done with about three quarters of the Greek alphabet already, and so they're very easy to know. This next letter looks like a T with a fish hook. It's a tau. Tau, and so it's pronounced with the T. The next one looks like a U and is an upsilon. It's kind of like the German U or U. Okay, so that's an upsilon, but it looks like a U. Now this one here, This one here is a chi. It is a K sound. Now, again, this is where I may get in trouble with you, but you know, the word Christos or Christ is written with a chi. Okay, there it is. It kind of looks like a big X. And then, of course, the rho, the iota, sigma in the middle, tau, and then sigma at the end. Okay, see how that worked? Christos. Well, there are many who, instead of writing out the entire word of Christos, they would just write the first letter, chi. Looks like an S. So if you were going to say Christmas, you would go Xmas, and now everybody's saying you're taking Christ out of Christmas. Well, I suppose there are who do that. But for me, I do sometimes write this chi, and I mean Christ. In fact, if I'm going to say somebody's a Christian, I'll put a big X like that for Christ, and I'll put an N at the end. They're a Christian. If they're not a Christian, I'll put an N in the front. A non-Christian. Okay? If nothing else, maybe that'll help you remember the chi is the CH sound. And then finally, we have the omega. And there's a lot of omegas around. And that just looks like a W, and we're really familiar with that. All right, well, let's move to letter 5 with the unfamiliar Greek letters. So these, you're kind of on your own. Use your own imagination. The sky is the limit. You know, in Greek classes that I've been in or I've taught, there's no such thing as a crazy idea. If it helps you remember it, go with it. Well, this first letter that we see here is a zeta, okay? And it kind of looks like a Z, and it's pronounced like a Z, or maybe better, it's pronounced like a DZ, all right? And this is how you would say the word, zeta, DZ, kind of looks like a Z. The next letter is an eta, okay? But it looks more like an N in English, but it's pronounced eta. Again, one of those things you're just going to have to recognize. Now, this next letter is theta. All right? And one of the words that we get from a theta is the word theos, which means God. See how it begins with the theta? Now, theology is made up of two words, theos, God, and ology, logos, study. Theology means nothing more than the study of theos, the study of God. And sometimes people will just, instead of writing God, they will just write the theta for theos. Next one, more challenging. This is a xi. A xi. It's a K-S-I sound. Xi. Okay, it's kind of like an X, almost pronounced a little bit like an X, but it's a Xi. And I don't know, what does it look like to you? A backward Z? What do they call those little water horses in the water? What do they call them? Anyway, a what? Yeah, seahorse, that's right. Could be a little seahorse, you know, use your imagination. All right, this next one looks like a P, but it's an R. It's not a P. It's a rho, okay? A rho. Now, let me just tell you quickly how I remember that, and it may or may not help you. Okay, looks like a P. And I came from Pennsylvania, and of course, the baseball team is the Philadelphia Phillies, and they have a P on the front of their hat. Well, I lived in a town near Philadelphia. It was called Reading. And they had a farm team there called the Reading Phillies. So they had an R on the front of their hat, but everything else looked just like the Phillies uniform. So for me, it was easy to remember that this P, which is pronounced with an R, as an R, kind of reminded me of the Reading Phillies. Now, how many here lived and came from Reading? Okay, none of you? All right, so I guess it's not going to work for you. All right, next letter. No, just kidding. So, I don't know. It may help you or may not. All right, this next letter looks like a V, but it's a new, and it sounds like an N. So here we have it. Over here we have the N that is not an N, but it looks pronounced like an Ada. Here's a V. It's not a V, but it's pronounced like an N. It's new. Well, maybe this can help you. The other day, I had some friends over to the house, and I said to the lady, "What's new?" And she said, "The 13th letter of the Greek alphabet." And I didn't get it. And so something transpired, and then we said it again. And she goes, "The 13th letter of the alphabet." So it's at that time, being the great scholar I am, I began going on my hands, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu. No, I get it. It's the 13th letter of the alphabet. Well, it looks like a V. So next time somebody asks you what's new, you just tell them it's the 13th letter of the Greek alphabet. And that's how you write it. Well, then this next one is a little difficult. It's a phi. And it's pronounced with as a PH. Phi. Okay? It's a circle with a line through it. I guess you just get used to what it looks like. And then if that's not bad enough, the next one is a psi. It's P-S-I. Psi. Is that a cactus? I don't know. You tell me. Anyway, it's words like psuche, which means soul. Anyway, that's the psi. But if you will notice, though, that there's more letters that you're familiar with than unfamiliar. So you might spend a little extra time on the unfamiliar ones and you'll be able to get them. Well, let's take a look at the whole alphabet. And we'll take a look at the names, which I've practically said them all by now. We'll run through them. Okay. We have in the beginning, the top line. You can either look at them here on your paper. This is Roman numeral 6, the names of the Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta. Let's all say that together. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta. Oh, by the way, someone in this class who will be here at 7 o'clock told me that they found a song for the Greek alphabet. It's just kind of like ours, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Yeah. I don't know why I can't stay on the chord. Okay, but anyway, they said that there is a song, and that may help you. Whatever helps you and whatever works for you, okay? But let's look at the second line. Eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu. All right? The third line. Nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma. And the last line, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. All right, so it'll help you if you can memorize the alphabet, because when you look at some of the Greek tools, you're going to be looking at the Greek alphabet, and you have to, just like our English dictionary, you know, where you have to say, okay, their name is Smith, and where is Smith in the dictionary? And some of us even have to go through the English alphabet to figure out which one goes first. Well, it's the same thing with the Greek alphabet as you're going through a lexicon. You're looking for a particular word. You know it begins with a row, but you can't remember whether the pi is in front of the row or behind it. So you may have to do the alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, and so on. Anyway, it'll be very helpful if you can learn that. All right, and I think by now we've already discussed the pronunciation of the Greek alphabet. Here's a little bit of English indicators. Like, for instance, for the epsilon, it's a short E. The eta is a long A. For most of the time, the iota is a short I. Okay? And I'm just, you know, maybe the other one we might just mention is, again, the upsilon, which looks like a U, is like the German U pronounced U. Okay? Now, here's one. Let's go to Roman numeral 8 for the Greek vowels. Very similar to the English vowels. Now, I have two of them underlined. I have the eta underlined, and I have the omega underlined. If you'll just for a moment take those out of there, what do you have left? A, E, I, O, U. Alpha, epsilon, iota, omicron, upsilon. So all of the vowels are just like ours, except it adds the eta and the omega. So as we learn to pronounce words, those are going to be the vowels. All right, well, let's try a couple of word puzzles. And this is where it gets fun. If you were one of those kids that got up in the morning and you're eating your cereal and there was a decoder on the back of your cereal box, and as you're crunching the Captain Crunch, you're decoding it, that's what we're doing here. That's basically what we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. And that's one of the ways in which we can transliterate. All right, now, you see this one up here at the top in the left? Now, this isn't how you pronounce this name in Greek, but I just want to do this in English. Notice the first letter, it's an alpha. The next letter is a delta. And the third letter is an alpha. So if you were to just transliterate that, you would put A-D-A, and it's the name Ada. All right? Okay. All right, Deb, look at this next one here. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to first say the names of the Greek letters and then tell us what English word that says.
Okay.
Theta,
iota, and gamma, gamma.
Okay. Actually, it's the lambda, lambda.
Where am I?
You know, the gamma looks like the lambda, only upside down. Okay. Oh, very good. That is right. Well, you don't need to apologize because you've already figured that out on your own. So, very good. So it's Bill. Bill. Okay. Now, Josh, can you tell me the names of these Greek letters here, and then tell me what name that means? Bob. What about Bob? Okay. Very good. See. So already now, you're pronouncing letters, you're giving them the correct pronunciation. Okay, Matt, would you tell us the letters in this word and then tell us what name that means?
Gamma, rho, epsilon, gamma,
Greg. Greg, very good. Gamma, rho, epsilon, Greg. So you see, in a way, you're doing Greek already and we're only in it 45 minutes. Well, for those of you who have not done this, I'm going to let you take the rest home and do for homework to have fun with. But I want to drop down here to these last two names. Okay, notice this one here on the left. It is pi, epsilon, tau, rho, omicron, sigma. And it is pronounced Petros. Now, what biblical name do you think that stands for? Peter. That's exactly right. So, oh my word, in 10 minutes or less, you're reading Greek. You're reading Bible words. Okay? How about this one here? It's pi, alpha, upsilon, lambda, omicron, sigma, and it's pronounced Paulos. So, Josh, what name in the Bible do you think that stands for?
Paul.
Paul, yes. Okay, you're reading Greek. All right, now Matt, you've been patiently waiting. Would you tell us what Greek letters are found in that word? Excellent.
Barnabas.
That's right. That's right. So here the Greek word is Barnabas, and I'm going to reveal this to you. How do you say Barnabas in English? Barnabas. Okay. How do you say McDonald's in Greek? McDonald's. Come on. It's an English word. All right. So you've already begun to pronounce Greek words. This one here is logos. It means the word. You remember in John 1:1? In the beginning was the word, and lo and behold, look what we have here. Logos. N-R-K, ein ha logos, kai ha logos, ein pros, tam theon, kai theos, ein ha logos. Three times that's used, and you already know what that is in the Greek. It means word. The next one is theos, which we've already talked about. That one was in John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, notice here it's theon. Okay. Notice here it's theos. Okay. Here's let you in a little bit of the Greek. Basically, the root is thea, and then depending on its declension, it'll have a different ending, whether a nu or whether a sigma. But either way, you're going to remember that and recognize that word. Okay, so here's the good news. The good news is that you're not going to, in this class, you're not going to have to learn all of the declensions. As, u, o, an, oi. O, on, ois, oos. You won't have to do that, okay? But you will be able to recognize the root, and I'm going to teach you to be able to look this up in a lexicon, and you're going to be able to figure out the declension, you're going to be able to figure out the tenses, because the lexicon will do all the work for you. All you have to do is know the alphabet and recognize the words, which you're already doing from John 1:1. So you probably already know most of John 1:1 in the Greek. And then finally is the word Christos. And we have already spoken of what Christos is. It's the word Christ. And there it is. It's the chi with the CH sound. And by the way, if you notice, it's not like the Hebrew, so you don't have to in this class, all right? It's CH for Christos. Notice the rho is next. It's a rho and it's not a r. You don't have to trill your tongue in this class, not like you do in other languages. So Christos is Christ. Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you one other incentive. One other incentive why you should learn Greek. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, just notice the front here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it reads, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. One good reason to learn the Greek alphabet is because the Alpha and the Omega describes the name of God. And so you already now have begun to put it together. Now, I would like to just point a couple of things out. Notice Alpha, the word Alpha in Greek. Well, that's kind of hard to see that way. You see it right there, though? No. Yes. Okay. It's spelled Alpha, Lambda, Phi, Alpha. So it's pronounced Alpha. But I want you to notice the Omega. The Omega is not spelled O-M-E-G-E-G-A. It's just the letter, the final letter. Omega. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega. What this means is that it's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. God is the first and the last. He's the one who is eternal, and it all begins with Him. He was not created. He has created all things. He's the beginning and He's the end. So it speaks of His sovereignty. He began all things and He's carrying all things through. And He already knows the end from the beginning because He's sovereign. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. And He knows all things in between and He controls them even for your life. How about Romans 8:28? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who've been called according to His purpose. Well, He's the Alpha and the Omega in your daily life. He knows the beginning from the end and the in-between, and He controls it all. I bow my knees to Him and I submit to Him. Now that's Revelation 1:8. We go to Revelation 22:13, and let's read that. And it's very similar. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And here He explains it. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. But the interesting thing is Revelation 22, verse 13 is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Revelation 1, this name for the sovereign Lord, Alpha and Omega, is given to Jesus Christ in Revelation 22. It proves that Jesus Christ is God. He has the same name as God. And in the Old Testament, it says that God will never share His glory with another. He alone is God and there's none beside Him. Well, it proves that Jesus Christ is God then. He's a member of the Godhead. He's a member of the Trinity. He's the second person. And He's God the Son. By the very fact that He's named by the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So already you begin to see the personal insights from knowing the Greek alphabet. So what I'd like you to do for homework is to, number one, memorize the Greek alphabet. And then I'm going to give you a handout with some pictures on. And I want you to write your full name at the top of that handout using Greek transliteration. So what would your name be if it was spelled with Greek letters? And then each object on the picture of each object, and they're very, you know, very elementary objects like hat, cat, bat, you know, I want you to use Greek transliteration and I want you to spell those words. So that's going to be your homework for next week. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this time that You've begun to teach us the Greek alphabet, so that in time we might understand a little bit more of this precious Greek language which You wrote the New Testament in. And Father, as we begin to see the deeper things as a result of knowing the Greek, I pray that we'll walk closer with You, the Alpha and Omega of the universe, but also the Alpha and Omega of our lives in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.